take a minute to welcome you all. We're so glad that you came today. I know that you're going to really enjoy this lecture that we're having. Lou Anne Lundquist is somebody that I've heard a couple of times, and I was so impressed. And she's going to be talking about a special skills of communication that all of us need, regardless of who we're dealing with, but especially, of course, she's talking about dealing with people that are struggling mentally. So I'm going to turn this over to Lou Anne and have her further introduce herself.
Well, I've got two microphones, and I'm afraid if I turn one of them on, it'll scream. Oh, okay, it's on now. And I feel like I'm really loud, so I'm going to move it down a little bit farther. Well, I congratulate you on being here today. It's such a pretty day, and I'm sure you were tempted to do many other things and being outside and enjoying this beautiful weather. But I'm glad that you're here today, just so that I know how to direct what I talk about. Is there anyone in here that's dealing with somebody that they love that has dementia? Okay, good. We're going to include that. But this validation techniques of communication was developed for people that are emotionally sensitive. And that, I think, includes all of us at one time or another. And then we deal with people often that are emotionally sensitive. And I loved this, the techniques and the idea behind validation. But I have to tell you, it's a when you hear about it, that makes sense. That's so good. But when you're trying to implement it, it's not easy. It's hard because when you're trying to implement it, there's usually emotions that are involved, and you're wanting to protect yourself or show that you're right. And so sometimes it helps just to take a breath and stand back just a little bit and then reaffirm these techniques of validation. So what validation is? Validation is one way that we communicate acceptance of ourselves and of others. And there's two people that have to be accepted in this conversation where we use validation, ourselves and others. And it's supporting them and strengthening relationships while maintaining a different opinion. And so what isn't validation? Validation doesn't mean that you are agreeing or approving. And this I liked because, you know, often we see things black and white. This is right, this is wrong. This is helpful, this is destructive. And often we're right. But with validation, we're often talking to somebody who's very sensitive emotionally, and just because you're right doesn't mean that you're going to have a successful relationship or conversation with somebody. And so, particularly with dementia, dementia often takes away the ability to utilize logic and reason the way that they used to use that. And so you're trying to explain to somebody something, and they're looking at you like you're speaking Martian and offending them at the same time. So validation is a wonderful technique to utilize and even tweak a little bit to help when you're communicating with somebody with dementia. But it's so helpful in every circumstances. I wish I would have known this when I was raising my children. Especially when they were teenagers, because when they're teenagers, you have a lot of different opinions that you may not necessarily agree with. So this is a wonderful handout on validation. And it talks about understanding validation. And it says right here, right in the middle of the page, validation is a simple concept to understand, but it's very difficult to put into practice. So as you try this, be patient with yourself. I gave this lecture in our early stage memory loss classes last week. And then yesterday we had the class again. And so when we divided the ones with memory loss go into cognitive training and the care partners go into a caregiver training. So when we were in the caregiver training portion yesterday, one of the ladies raised her hand, and she says, I didn't try validation yesterday, and it was terrible, but then I figured out how to fix it. So what her experience was is her husband says, I just remembered what beer I used to drink. It was Buddy Boy beer. And she looked at him and says, that brand doesn't exist. I don't know what you're talking about. And then they had this argument. And then in the middle of the argument, she remembered the validation. And so later on, she says, oh, yeah, I remember that, too. That used to make you feel really good and was your favorite. I had just forgotten. And so she was able to validate afterwards. But that goes with being simple to understand but difficult to implement. So as we go through and you try this experiences at home, then just be patient with yourself. Validation, and this is the very basic part of understanding validation, is that you have an internal experience, and the person that you're talking to is also having an internal experience. Now, this internal experience may be contrary to what we want them to be experiencing. We may want them to see things and that are congruent with our internal experience. We've had a lot of experience in life. We are people of faith. We know what's right and wrong. We know by following the right path, we avoid a lot of problems in life. And yet the person that we're talking to is maybe not on that path. Or maybe they're wanting to do something that is difficult, or their reality, in the case of dementia, might be something that really never happened. And so in validating another person, you're recognizing you have a background of experience that makes you think the way that you do and believe the way that you do, and you're going to try to strengthen a relationship with somebody in this conversation while maintaining a different point of view. And you do that by recognizing their internal experience, and they have a history that has caused them to think and feel the way that they do, and maybe some beliefs that aren't correct that make them feel that, you know, they're not good enough to date somebody nice, so they're dating somebody over here that's really is really scary looking. And so you're having this conversation with different opinions while validating the fact that they have a different internal experience. That was hard for me to visualize. Is that hard? Is that a little difficult for you to visualize? Yeah, it was for me. Maybe I'm the only one. But by thinking of it in these terms, you're able to validate somebody and not say that they're doing right or wrong. You're just validating them as a person. And so one of the things in dementia care, when we talk about communicating and being a caregiver, is this will give you power to help calm down the emotions where they feel loved and trusted, and then you can redirect for change. And so when you're talking about validation in other communication, when you're arguing, can you, very seldom can you actually change somebody with an argument. Have you noticed that? And especially if there is any inebriation of any level. Okay, so validation doesn't mean that you agree or that you approve of what they do. So, and then what validation is, it's a way of communicating that the relationship is important and solid, even when you disagree on issues. So the relationship is important. Can you get anybody to change or see or accept your judgment or your advice if that relationship isn't solid? You really can't. Even if you're right, even if you are so right and they are so wrong, you still cannot actualize a change unless that relationship is solid. So validation is that technique, that's that missing piece that helps us to strengthen the relationship so that later then we can actualize a change in behavior or actions, hopefully, depending on how much power we have and how much resistance they have. So it's also a recognition and acceptance of another person's thoughts, feelings, sensations, and behaviors as understandable in that circumstance. So we'll talk about that just a little bit. So back to our handout here. It says, validation communicates acceptance. We need to belong and feel accepted. And when we feel accepted, that's calming, isn't it? We don't feel threatened. Acceptance means acknowledging the value of another person. And so the next part is validation helps to regulate emotions. So I have right here a balanced scale. And a balanced scale, on this side, we've got logic, or we've got emotions and feelings. And emotions and feelings, I put red because anger is red in my mind and love is red in my mind. And then logic and reason, good old solid blue and green. And so as long as we can keep logic and reason, we can keep emotions and feelings pretty well balanced. Then things go quite well. But there are times and dealings in every relationship when the emotions are going to be so heated and logic and reason are going to be diminished, especially without validation. You have this model right here. And especially with dementia, you often have this model right here. Because whenever the emotions are inflamed, the logic and reason is just greatly diminished. And then when you have dementia, the physical abilities and structure of the brain often don't allow logic and reason to happen, but you can redirect to positive things if you have calmed down the emotions. But until you calm down the emotions, you're not going anywhere. You're just stuck in this bad triangle of things happening that aren't good. So it helps regulate emotions. Life can be confusing and difficult, and there are health issues that cause memory loss that magnifies these emotions. It says, these thoughts lead to fear and sometimes panic because the importance of understood it is crucial for survival. So what are some of these emotions? Have you seen these? When you're dealing with anybody where there's a conflict, in any relationship, there's love, hopefully, that helps balance things out. But when you're dealing with dementia or heated emotions of any kind, you've got confusion, sadness, fear, anger, pride, jealousy, hope, suspicion, mistrust. But most of these are negative emotions. And so by maximizing the positive ones, we hope to bring things back into balance. And so validation will help regulate those emotions. And validation also helps build relationships, which is obvious. If you have a solid relationship, then it's bonding and it's stronger. Validation builds understanding and effective communication. So right here, I have a cute little sign, and I love this. When my daughter got married, the man that she was marrying was really quite headstrong and right. He was very intelligent, is. They're still married, and they're very happy. But the man that married them knew my daughter, but he didn't know my son-in-law. And it was really interesting, as the minister was giving them the advice before they said their vows, he turned to my soon-to-be son-in-law and said something profound that has stuck with me. And he says, I want you to remember one bit of advice, and if you forget everything else I've said, this one will help you to have a happy marriage. And so he's perking up and listening, and he says, I want you to remember that you have two choices. You can be right, or you can be happy. So here's this little happy face in the midst of all of these right faces. And that's very true when it comes to validation. When we are right, it's kind of a prideful feeling, and we often can't be happy in this relationship. So let's learn some of these techniques. Validation shows the other person that they're important. Have you ever been in a situation where you've been a little bit rebellious, and so then you're kind of expecting to get clobbered? And so I remember when I was a teenager, and I can't remember what I did. I think I took something out of my mom's drawers that I wasn't supposed to get into. And about a week or two later, and I never said anything, and she never said anything. And then a week or two later, the door was open from wherever I took this, whatever it was. I don't even remember. And the thought process came to my mind, my mom knows I took that. Why hasn't she gotten after me? And then another thought process happened, and it was, she knows I did this, and she told me not to do this, and she has every right to be very mad at me, and she has chosen not to. She must really love me. I was wrong. I knew I was wrong. I was ready to defend myself like most wrong people do. And yet, I had seen at that point in time, without doing a thing, my mother had validated me. And now, if this was something that I was doing that was destructive, you know, she needed to say something. But in this particular case, it wasn't destructive. It was, she had asked me not to do something. I did it anyway. She was allowing me to find out that she knew, and yet she didn't get after me. And so I felt validated and loved, even though I was wrong. So that's a good example of validation. Okay, validation builds understanding and effective communication. Human beings are limited by what they can see, hear, and understand. Two people can watch the same event occur and see different aspects and remember important details totally differently. If you've ever been in law enforcement, they say this over and over again. So they'll have eyewitnesses that saw the same event and they give totally different stories. But that's what they saw, and that's the truth in their mind. So when you're dealing with somebody's validation, then you're back to what's their internal experience. How did they see the event that happened? How did they relate that to themselves? How are they using that to justify their actions or their behavior, their lifestyle, or a certain event? And then what is your internal experience on that? How did you see that event? How are you internalizing that? What does it mean to you? Validation shows the other people that they are important. It helps us to persevere. Sometimes when change is very difficult, having the difficulty of the task recognized helps keep people working toward their goal. It seems to replenish their resolve to keep trying and keep going. And so validation can do that in a certain way. I had worked at a job, and I'm a rather, it sounds weird if I'm giving a presentation, but I'm a quiet person. And so I was doing a lot of work at this job, and my supervisor never said anything positive, never got after me, but never recognized what I was doing. And what I was doing is something that I loved, so I kept doing it. But at the same time, I was thinking, you know, the extra hours I'm putting in and all the stuff I'm doing is just really not appreciated. So if I wasn't loving what I was doing, what do you think my motivation would have been to keep going? Now, think about in your personal relationships with your spouses, for example, or your children, or somebody that's close to you. You know what? They do so many things all the time for us, and we're just so used to it. And so validation is a way to consciously think about something that they do and notice it and tell them how much we appreciate that, or how much we admire them for doing that. For example, in my family relationship with my husband, he likes to cook. Am I lucky or what? And so when we were first married, that was offensive to me. That's my job. I should be cooking, and you're better at it than I am. And now we've been married so long, it's just like, yeah, honey, you're fixing breakfast, right? And I started to take this really great blessing in my life for granted and didn't show appreciation. And then I noticed that he, on the other hand, was telling me, oh, Luann, thank you for doing my laundry. well, I'm supposed to do your laundry. He says, no, it's just really nice to go to my underwear drawer and pull out clean underwear without having to think about it. Going, but doesn't everybody? But what that did is it validated the mundane work that I do in a relationship of keeping clean underwear available for my husband. And so validation can help improve a relationship just by recognizing the things that people do and make them feel important. Understanding the levels of validation is the next part, and it's on this page number 2, about right here. This is interesting because these are different levels of validation, and yet in certain circumstances and with certain people, there's ones that you can use and then ones that you can't use. So we'll talk about some stories and experiences that way. So the first level is being present. Have you been at the dinner table with grandkids? What do they do nowadays?
Yeah. Not at my dinner table, they don't.
You go, Grandma. That's a good idea. Have a basket they throw.
They go to the bathroom. I've never seen the kids go to the bathroom so much. What are they doing in there? Oh. You haven't had that one yet?
No.
Be prepared.
Oh, my goodness. My oldest one is 10, so I'm looking down that road. All right, yeah, you want to connect with these grandchildren, and you want them to see and know your values and know the things you've seen in life, and maybe you can have a chance to have a conversation that will prepare them for life and help maybe correct some things that you're seeing that are destructive for their future. And yet, here they are at the table. I'm just going to go play on the Wii machine, Grandma. I've hidden those controls. Well, you can't, if they're going like this, you can't be present. They're not present. You may be present, but you can't have this relationship because they are not present. So getting rid of the distractions is a really good one. Another one that might be good, and this has a lot to do with body language. We'll talk about that a little bit. But let's say you're busy. Now, when I was a mom, I was really busy doing things, and I remember my little 3-year-old daughter was just yuck, 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 why, this. And I turned to her and I said, Erin, if you don't quit talking, you're going to drive me insane. And she's like, I can't drive you in Spain. I don't have a license. I was not being present in that situation. And so she let me know. There's other body language things that we do that show that we are not present. And you know what? Being present with somebody that is dealing with strong emotions is not an easy thing to do. We can do it for just a minute, but then we really want to shut ourselves down and protect ourselves. And so here's some body language that says, I am not present. You know, I don't have to say anything, but I'm saying, I'm really done here. I'm really done. Another one is, come follow me. Let's do this. What am I? My words are saying one thing, but I'm saying, I want you to stay away. I'm pushing you away. And so our body language is revealing what we're feeling. And so, again, that's a time to take a deep breath and say, okay, I am here for you. Let's discuss this and let's listen. And so being present is very important. Turning off the television. One of my clients with dementia was a very intelligent man. And so he told me that when he and his wife sit down to talk, if she wants him to listen to anything she says, then they have to turn the television off. Because he mentally can't process what she's saying if the television's on, if there's noise. And so being present might mean a lot of different things. But when you're present, that person is the only thing right at that particular moment. You turn off the phone, the television, and you give them your time. Let's see. It says, this is during intense emotion. Sometimes we don't know what to say. It says, just being present, paying attention to the person in a non-judgmental way is often the answer. For yourself, being mindful of your own emotion is the first step to accepting your emotion. So when you're starting to just get really ramped up with anger, if you say to yourself, I, and to the other person, I'm feeling angry. You're using an I statement. I'm feeling angry. You've just admitted and accepted your internal experience at that moment. So that's another way to be present during strong emotions. Okay, the second level is accurate reflection. And you've heard of this a lot, and it's really important. So somebody is saying, let's say with a dementia loved one, I'm not going to take a bath. I did that yesterday. I don't want to take a bath. I don't stink. I'm just not going to do it. Okay? So what are you going to do? Well, reflective listening is saying, so you're saying that you feel you don't need to take a bath. Just that simple. Or I'm going to drive. I don't care if the doctor said I can't drive. I am going to drive. And so I've never had an accident. I've been driving since I've been 12 on the farm, and there's no problem. Well, the reality is, I'm talking about my father-in-law here, he did have an accident a week ago, and he has been driving since he's been 12, but he took up over Pine Valley Mountain in his car and got lost, you know, without letting us know where he was going. Had I used that in the conversation, which was real and true and caused a lot of problems, would I be validating him? I was right, and he was wrong, right? All right, so in a situation like that, to validate them, say, so you have a lot of experience in driving, mm-hmm, and driving's important to you. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you haven't said that he's wrong or right, you've just validated him. That's all you've done. And then after he feels safe, then you might be able to redirect that conversation into changing, changing action. Okay, level three is reading the person's behavior and guessing what they might be feeling or thinking. This is really important in dementia, but you have to know that you could guess wrong. And so in a situation like that, they might be, there's a situation where a family was watching television. And it was the dad had dementia, and the son had left his home in California and come up to help dad with the farm. So every day they do the farm work, they come in, they put down their TV trays, eat dinner while they were watching a Western. And his dad really enjoyed that. But then he started noticing his dad was getting upset in the evenings, and he figured it was sundowning, which could happen. But then he realized one night that it wasn't sundowning, it wasn't just sundowning. He realized it was watching the Western, that he couldn't tell the difference between that screen and a window on the world. So what happened was they were sitting there watching the Western. The dad was getting agitated, and he stood up, and he said, that son of a gun has shot me for the last time. I'm going and getting my guns, and I'm going to shoot back. Whoa. I hope the son got rid of the guns or that they weren't there in the first place. But in a situation like that, how would you validate? Okay, the person has a total misrepresentation of reality in that situation. Turning off the TV would be a really good one. That takes away the stimulus. And then, like right here, he's got a heated emotion and not the ability to reason through this very well. So, yes, Pebble? A plus. That's excellent. I need a gold star. Very good. Absolutely. That's a classic example of validation. It doesn't admit that he's right or wrong. It doesn't tell him that it was a television show and he's imagining that or anything else that's going to make the relationship separate. What she just said was something that brings the relationship together. So he's feeling some things here, right? Anger, fear, pride, suspicion, mistrust, because somebody's shooting at him on the other side. John, I'm hoping it wasn't John Wayne. I just, for my own personal, you know, hope, I just hope it wasn't John Wayne that was shooting. So anyway, he's feeling these great strong emotions, and the proper thing to do would say, yeah, I would be upset if I thought somebody was shooting at me too, and turn off the television and maybe talk about a few things and then redirect to something else. The wonderful blessing of dementia is that they forget. So it's easy to redirect after you've settled down this emotion. But you know what? If you don't settle down the emotion, it doesn't matter how right you are, this direction of change will never happen. You have to calm down the emotion. And by validating his internal experience, just by restating it, yeah, I would feel that way too. Do you feel scared? Does it make you feel angry? I would feel that way too if I thought someone was shooting at me. Very good answer, Pebble. Okay. Now, what if you guess wrong? Say, oh, okay, I understand that. Are you feeling this? And then you can go from there. Another example here that's really good, she says at level 3 validation, I'm guessing you must have felt pretty hurt by her comment. So you're saying, I'm guessing. So you're guessing at their feelings, and so if the person said no, it says, oh, okay, then maybe it was this. And so you can help guess through their emotions. If somebody's feeling really strong emotions, often they can't determine what it is exactly that they're feeling. But by finding out what it is they're feeling, then you help them to validate, I would feel that way in a similar circumstances too, or I would feel that way if I felt threatened. And so if what they're doing is incorrect, let's see. Okay, so you disagree on the issue, and maybe there you know what they're seeing or feeling is really incorrect or maybe even destructive. But what you can agree on at that point is, yes, if I felt hurt, if I felt I was being hurt, I would feel the same way. If somebody was mean to me, I would feel the same way. If I felt my independence was being taken away from me, I would feel the same way. You don't have to agree that they shouldn't be driving. You don't have to agree that their emotions are way out of whack. All you have to do is agree that if I felt threatened, I would feel the same way. That's what validation is. Okay. Level 4 is understanding their behavior in terms of their history and biology. And this really goes to power. When we talked about this at one of the lectures I did on family dynamics, we talked about power. So in a situation where somebody is doing something wrong and the law catches them and they have a trial, the judge has power to make them behave in a certain way. And that's on this level over here. When you have somebody that you care about and they're involved in drugs, your power is probably on this other end of the scale. Would you agree with that? Yeah. And so part of validating and dealing with these difficult relationships, whether it's dementia or whether it's drug abuse or whether it's a rebellious a child or grandchild, you have to look at this scale. Where is your power to make a difference? Do you remember, anybody remember listening to Dr. Laura's radio program? She often said this. Somebody would come up and say, I'm in a second marriage, my stepson is doing this terrible thing, and my husband's not addressing it, and I want things to change. And Dr. Laura would just simply say, you have no power here. That's exactly right. If you have no power, it's the biblical scripture about kicking against the pricks. You're just kicking against the pricks. And I know we've all been in circumstances like that. And so I was, not too long ago, a situation with a daughter-in-law. My son's marriage to this girl, who I love, and things are wonderful now, thankfully, but that marriage was more important than my feelings, and I knew that. And so I had to put my feelings and the circumstances and the hurt, I had to recognize my internal experience just mentally put it in a shoebox and put it on a shelf up high with dust on it in the garage and leave it there. And then I would pray, Heavenly Father, help these feelings to be calmed down and help our family to be healed. And sometimes I would find myself reaching up on that dusty shelf and getting that old box down, and I'd open it up and I'd start renumerating over the hurt. And my mind would say to me, if you have faith in Jesus Christ, you will put the lid back on that box and put it back on the shelf, because you don't have the power to make that change right now. You just have to believe at some point in time that that will be healed. And it was. It took some time, but you have to recognize, where is your power? Do you have the power to make the difference in this circumstance? And a lot of times we just don't, and that's a shame, but it's true. I like that. You've had that experience, haven't you? All right. A lot of that has to do with their history and biology. I have a little niece that I absolutely love, and she's not little anymore. When she was little, the power was over here to make a difference. Right now, she's on drugs, and she's over here, and I have absolutely no power. And it had to do with her. She doesn't have a history that led her there, but she has a biology that led her there. And I have no power right now to make a difference in her life other than prayer and hope that she will be better. And so you have to look at that history and biology. Where are you at? What's your power? And then you can make a difference in validation, or you can just pray and wait until that time can come. And then level 5 is normalizing or recognizing emotional reactions that anyone would have. So I like this one. Understanding that your emotions are normal is helpful for everyone. For the emotionally sensitive person, knowing that anyone would be upset in a specific situation is validating, just like you said, Pebble. It says, for example, of course you're anxious. Speaking before an audience the first time is scary for anyone. So if somebody's having a fear or an upset, you can just say, well, of course, that's a normal reaction for this type of circumstance. And then level 6 is radical genuineness. And that's when you understand the emotion someone's feeling at a very deep level. Maybe you've had a similar experience, and this is sharing that experience as equals. So, and that doesn't happen very often. But, for example, if somebody has had a very hard trauma in their life, maybe they've lost a spouse and you've lost a spouse, at that level you can really have a deep validation of those emotions. Okay, and then I want to talk about what's emotionally invalidation. And some of these we won't even talk about other than to mention, because they're obvious. So one is blaming. Blaming is always invalidating. Boy, that's true. It's really sad if you're an only child, because there's nobody to blame. Now, there's one called hoovering, and I thought, hoovering, I've never heard of that. And it refers to the Hoover vacuum cleaner. And this is the one, I do this. And I go, oh, I just thought I was being a peacemaker, but I'm a Hoover vacuum cleaner. A Hoover, if you're a Hooverer, that means you just go around and you suck up all the bad feelings, because you don't want to have anybody to have bad feelings. Well, if somebody is feeling a strong emotion, a loss, a fear, and you just go and hoover that up, you're not validating them as a person. You're just, it's like not being present. It's the same thing, only it's more emotional and comes out of fear. So don't hoover. The emotions are there. The problem is there. Address it in a validating way. Judging, denying, minimizing. Minimizing's another one. Don't worry, it's nothing. The loss, my friend lost a daughter at age 10 in an ATV accident at a family group. It was just, and she was best friends with my daughter, and I said to my friend, Terry, I honestly don't want to talk to you, because I don't know what to say. I'm afraid I'll say the wrong thing, and I don't want to cause you any more pain. And so I'm tempted to stay away, but I know that's not right. I says, you know, help me here. And Terry said, you know, I think some of the things that have been hard is people will say, well, she's in a better place now. She doesn't have to deal with all of this. Well, as a grieving mom at a new loss, the better place was by her side. And so that wasn't helpful to her. That was minimizing her pain. And so so be careful about minimizing. It's invalidating. And then nonverbal invalidation. I love this part. I couldn't wait to get to this part. I went to a conference and took a little mini class on body language, and now I know enough to be dangerous and nothing more. So, she brought up a study, communication, and I'd heard this so many times. The words you say are only 7%. It doesn't matter how intellectual and smart and right you are, they're only going to get 7% of what you say. And that's not very much. 38 is the tone. And so if I'm talking to you like this, and I think you're the nicest person in the world, did you feel that? Okay. Tone, it doesn't matter what the words you're saying, that tone is a huge part. And then more than half of what you say is your body language. I was shocked. And just some fun things they've got right here. She's got her feet crossed, and she's got her arms kind of crossed and like this. And so this kind of said she might be lying, and all the rest of it said she's not open to communication. And then this one was kind of funny. You've got a guy, and he's got his hands in his pocket and, you know, kind of like this, and it says he thinks you're stupid. And then he's impatient to leave, you know, tapping your foot. That's, you know, basically you're wanting to walk away. And so it's really interesting. So your body language as you're working with somebody that you're trying to validate could really cause a snag if you are not doing that right. You know, fist clenched, you're nervous and you feel threatened, you want to fight back. This one, he's hiding something, but what? Because he's looking away. It's just so funny. But when you do see someone the first time, you make a judgment of them in just a few seconds. And the way you do that is their expression and their body language. And so knowing that, think of your own body language, especially when you're dealing with somebody with intense emotions. That's a hard thing to do. And so if you're going, yeah, yeah, mm-hmm, yeah, oh, gosh, yeah. So I'm telling him to shh by doing this. I'm kind of closing off my heart here, aren't I? And, I'm really wanting to walk away from this intense emotion. So watch your body language. It will help them to see what we're really thinking and feeling. And so that says what we're really saying. So with the validation techniques, again, it's for strengthening relationships. And it's to help us to deal with strong and difficult emotions. It's to help us to bond with somebody and validate them, making them feel safe, even though we don't agree with what they're saying or what they're doing. And it's recognizing your internal experience and saying, I feel this way, and recognizing theirs. So just some little cheats are on this second page. Avoid you statements. You are making me crazy. You shouldn't be doing that. You made me spend that money. The devil made me do it. So avoid those. They're blaming statements. And when you find yourself saying you, especially if you made me, catch yourself, because you need to change it to I statements. That's recognizing your internal experience. I feel threatened. I'm sad. I'm sorry. I'm angry. I'm afraid. I'm nervous. So by saying the I statements, it's not threatening. And that helps them to validate you. Avoid fighting words, especially in dementia. Fighting words are don't, stop, can't, and have to. Now, if somebody's coming and they want to break your finger, you have to say stop and don't. But in other circumstances, try to avoid those words and spin it like a politician to the positive. Instead of saying, don't go in there, you can't go in there, saying, oh, let's go in here, you know, and just try to spin something to the positive. And then remember that people with dementia experience strong emotions, And they're almost always based in fear. And if you recognize that they're afraid, and how do you act when you're afraid? You know, do you cry? Do you get angry and want to fight? Recognize that behaviors might be because of strong emotions such as fear. And then, see, the only way to retrain the brain, I talked with a counselor, and she was so good. She talked about when we have negative thoughts, and people with dementia have very low self-esteem, so they're having negative thoughts. I can't do this. I'm dumb. I can't drive. I'm dependent. And so those thoughts, if I can remember this right, flood the neurons of the brain, at which then flood all the cells of the body with peptides that cause the body to do things that reinforce what the brain is thinking. And so if you can retrain with positive validation and positive experiences, you can start to retrain that negative effect of the brain to be in more of a positive with positive mental emotions. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So we don't have to exercise. We get it the hard way.
That's another lecture.
You'll feel better afterwards.
Oh. Well, I'll let you read the rest. There's a really good thing about the onion theory of dementia that's interesting at the bottom of that page. But I really appreciate you allowing me to come and share this philosophy, I guess, of communication, and hope that it will be effective in your relationships. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.